The Athletic.
Let's talk about six, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be. Let's talk about six.
Gomez and Jota and Minamino. Tsimikas takes. And Liverpool lead. And Joel Matip has Liverpool where they need to be.
So the title race goes to the wire. Liverpool take it to the final day as they come from behind against Southampton. Don't forget, if you're not already a subscriber to The Athletic, you can read all of the articles on Liverpool as well as everything else on the site if you head to theathletic.com/Liverpool pod. Special price of £1 a month for 6 months at the moment. So to subscribe, head to theathletic.com/Liverpool pod. I'm Steve Hothersall. Joining me on the Red Agenda today, James Pearce and LFC TV commentator John Bradley. It's going to the final day. It's reminiscent, James, of 3 years ago when Liverpool and Man City were neck and neck into that final stretch. It's bizarre how similar it is.
Yeah, it is. And I think it's fitting that it goes to the wire as well, because there's been so little between these two teams all season. You know, similarly to 18-19, I think they've inspired each other. They've driven each other on to greater heights. I don't think either of them would have got close to this points total without the other one. They've known that there was so little margin for error. And Liverpool thoroughly deserved to take it right to the final day as well, because you know, I think a lot of people wondered whether Tuesday night at St Mary's might have been a step too far after that energy sapping 120 minutes and the shootout at Wembley against Chelsea last weekend. You know, I suppose it was a gamble really of Klopp to make all those changes, you know, nine of them, but you know, yet again the depth of this squad came to the fore. And you know, the names on the back of the shirts might change, but you know, the style, the desire, the mentality, the composure, the resilience always seems to remain the same.
Brad, as you were on the Red Agenda about the time that Liverpool were 14 points behind Manchester City, and despite the fact we know how great this squad are and how good the manager is, it was a little bit inconceivable at that time that we could think it would get to this point. Liverpool would definitely have taken this back then.
You're outing me as a doubter, Steve, here, by any chance. I think that the way that City had gone about their run of form at the start of the year, or the start of the season, compared to Liverpool, who were just drawing quite a lot of games. And I said at the time, I'd been lucky to speak to Pep Guardiola, and he said, you know, a draw's as bad as a defeat now in the Premier League, because the standards that Liverpool and City have set between them are so high that you know, if it's 1-1 with 5 minutes to go in a game, both Liverpool and Manchester City will always try to find a way to win that game, because they know that a draw is really costly now. And I think that's obviously proven to be the case. I think that, strangely, City normally in the second half of the season gets stronger, and it's sort of been the other way around this year, that they've slipped up a few times, and Liverpool's form since obviously the turn of the year has been remarkable, and beaten in the Premier League, you know, only dropped a couple of points here and there. It's been a phenomenal run. Part of, you know, that mentality that's been instilled into them, the resilience of the players, the togetherness of the players, the unity of the football club as a whole. And I think that it's easy to become blasé and take it for granted, but we've got to have so much respect for the way that they've dug themselves. You know, they were on New Year's Day, they were at the bottom of a well, weren't they? And there was a ladder to get them out of it, and slowly, rung by rung, they've clawed their way up, and you know, they're on the top step. And now it's just a question of whether Steven Gerrard and Aston Villa can do Liverpool one more favour and they can get the job done.
Well, James, how much did we talk in December about January being possibly a tough month, and Mo Salah and Sadio Mane not being about because they'd be at AFCON? Liverpool, great testament to Liverpool and the way they've attacked this second half of the season and got over different hurdles in a variety of ways.
Yeah, it was early January, wasn't it, when Klopp got the entire squad together at Kirby and talked about how they needed to have a bit of a reset, because they'd had a difficult end to 2021 with some, you know, some drop points that I think could and probably should have been avoided. You know, you think of that defeat at Leicester and then throwing away the lead at Chelsea at the start of January, and you're right, you know, and suddenly then you're losing Salah, Mane and Keita, And I think a lot of people, probably Man City included, would have thought that that was when Liverpool's challenge would have faded away. But yeah, similarly to what we saw at St Mary's on Tuesday night, those on the fringes stepped up and delivered in the absence of those key personnel during AFCON. And it's been a feature of this season that, you know, unlikely heroes have emerged from all different departments of that Klopp squad. And, you know, he said himself it's the deepest group of players in terms of talent he's ever had the luxury of working with. And they've proved that time and time again. And yeah, it's just consistency on a breathtaking level, isn't it? When you think, well, they've played 18 league games in the second half of the season and they've dropped 6 points, which to have put together that kind of run whilst competing on all fronts, winning both domestic cups, getting to a Champions League final, you know, it's just been an absolute Herculean effort.
Brad, as you've been commentating on Liverpool for many years on the club TV channel, LFC TV, do you take this at all for granted, what you're watching now? Or have you simply been blown away by this Liverpool side and the mentality aspect of the
team? I used to take Steven Gerrard for granted and the level of his performance. So you came to an expectancy that Gerrard would be brilliant every game. And then if players were playing well around him, you tended to highlight them more because, you know, it was Steven Gerrard. That's what he did. So I think I almost learned from that you've got to appreciate them when they're there and appreciate this team now together. And whoever the 11 are that are out on the field, you're still getting the same level of performance from the players, you know. And there's absolutely no conceivable way that 3-4 years ago, Jurgen Klopp could make 9 changes for a game away at Southampton to expect Liverpool to go and win there. I know Southampton have been a little bit off the rails lately since, you know, their season pretty much was secured that they weren't going down, they weren't going to do anything else. But I thought they had a real go at Liverpool for a while last night and were very competitive, but Liverpool just played them off the park. And that wouldn't have happened 3-4 years ago. So I think it's testament to the recruitment. And it's not just the recruitment of the players being better as well. It's also buying players with a better mentality and better culture. So I don't think we should ever be blasé about it. It's funny, actually, because the big talking point of the game last night was obviously the commentary on TV, wasn't it? You know, about almost Martin Tyler, you know, who's been responsible for some of the greatest moments in Premier League history, for finding the right words to fit the moment, almost downplaying the Liverpool goals, particularly the Minamino one. And it's because, like, Liverpool and Manchester City dominate games so much that you're not surprised when they score. And sometimes it's almost hard to get up because you know that they're going to score. And that goal that Liverpool scored last night, the equaliser, was so inevitable when it came because Liverpool were pounding Southampton into the floor. They were getting deeper and deeper. But it's a really great goal and it's a really good goal. So it will be easy to take them for granted, but we never should.
I love that Minamino strike. In fact, I love Taki just for what he's been about this season, James. So top scorer in the League Cup for Liverpool, same in the FA Cup, left out of the FA Cup final, but no, gets the tap on the shoulder for this game and then scores a sparkler.
Yeah, I think he epitomises really the kind of the selfless team ethic that runs right through that squad, because he'd been quite within his rights, really, to be a bit peeved by having done so much to help Liverpool get to 2 major finals, you know, to not even be on the bench for one of them and not feature in either final. And you know, I think you had to go back to December 2020 at Palace for the last time he'd started a Premier League game for Liverpool. And he, you know, he scored that day. And every time he has had an opportunity this season, he's grasped it. You know, 10 goals in all competitions. He's only played just over 1,000 minutes, so you're talking about not far off a goal every 90 minutes. I think certainly a goal involvement every 90 minutes, because I think he's got an assist or two thrown into the mix as well. You know, I did an interview with Vitor Matos on the kind of this theme of why players are able to keep on stepping up and delivering when they've played so little football, because, you know, Minamino, like Harvey Elliott, hadn't had a minute of football competitive action since the FA Cup tie at Forest in March. And he said it's, well, a couple of things really. One was, he said, just the environment that Klopp has created there, where they all just buy into this, that they're part of something special, even when they're not playing regularly, you know, and that attitude then transcends into the training, where training is always of such an intensity that they try and replicate what they need come match days. So it's you might not have played for a couple of months, yet it feels like you have because you're training at such a high level day in, day out. Yeah, it's going to be intriguing to see what happens with Minamino this summer, because I think ideally you'd want him to stay around because he's the perfect squad player. It's just, at this stage in his career, is he happy being a bit part option, or does he want to go somewhere and be one of the main strikers? And and will Liverpool get the kind of offers that might test that resolve? But I hope he stays put because he's a real asset.
Yeah, plus Klopp won't want to lose Divock Origi and Minamino, James.
No, he won't. And we know that, Origi will be saying his goodbyes at Anfield this Sunday, after that game against Wolverhampton Wanderers. And, he's been in talks for quite some time now with AC Milan. And barring any late hitches, you'd expect that to go through. Obviously, he's a free agent this summer. He hasn't played enough games over the course of this season for the option in his contract to kick in, which would have triggered an extension. So yeah, that's another factor as well. You won't want too much upheaval, and Origi will certainly be missed. I thought he was excellent again last night, in terms of doing a job for the team, put himself about. He was lively. He was, he won battles. He alleviated pressure at times when it got a little bit nervy late on. And yeah, he will leave an absolute legend of the club with the iconic contributions he's made over the years.
Two signings this season that have made a massive difference to Liverpool. Obviously, Luis Diaz is one, and we've waxed lyrical about him. But Ibrahim Akinate, incredible. 22 years old, and the consistency and level of his performances, and almost the leadership as well, Brad, has been outstanding from this young guy.
I absolutely loathe comparisons, talking about a player being similar to someone, but he really reminds me of Marcel Desailly in terms of his supreme physicality, his composure at a young age, the way that he will jump through a brick wall to win it. But then when he gets on the ball, he's really, really composed. We're not going to start banging the drum now and saying he's this, he's that. He's still a very young defender, still learning his trade. But I think the last few weeks, he has been an absolute colossus and a mountain for Liverpool at the heart of that defence. And I think Liverpool are unbelievably blessed because, obviously with Virgil van Dijk, we all know what he is. I think Joel Matip has maybe even surpassed Virgil's levels of performance this season. I think the level of consistency that he's shown has been incredible. Maybe I'm going back to the old Gerrard thing there of taking Virgil for granted, but I think Joel Matip has been incredible this season. I think Ibrahim Konate has grown throughout the course of the season, and I think what he's also done is, as well, is it's all part of what we talk about. He's seen the mentality and the culture at the training ground and on a match day, and the players and how they conduct themselves and what they expect of themselves and others. And I think he's really bought into it, and he's fitted in really well. And again, we talk about the mentality of players that you're bringing in, and it's not just playing ability, it's the mentality. And they look to have got it absolutely right here.
Such is the expectancy from this Liverpool side. When they went a goal down at Southampton, James, I was still massively confident. In fact, and I don't part with my money easily, but I put 20 quid on Liverpool when they went a goal down. Because I just thought, they will win this game. And they did. And we'll go back to that mentality thing as well. You were at the stadium. Were you completely confident and comfortable with the situation they found themselves in?
Yeah. Because there was just so long in the game to go, wasn't there, I think. And you're right. The beauty of this team is they don't panic. And they have that inherent belief that they will find a way out of it. And, they've done it so many times this season, haven't they, in terms of coming out of tricky situations. And they did it at Villa Park, last week, in terms of getting a bit of a shock to the system early on. Even Villarreal away wasn't too long ago, was it? That was probably the ultimate shock to the system, what happened in the first 20, 25 minutes there. But they work things out. And that's where people like James Milner, especially, I think, come to the fore when you've got experienced leaders like that. And most of this team of, even the fringe players coming in, they've been part of so many big occasions that I don't think at any point in the last few months would you say that this team has really felt the pressure or the expectation or anything like that. I think the message from Klopp all the way along has been just embrace it. You know, this is a once in a lifetime shot, really, at, you know, trying to achieve something that no team has ever done before with the quadruple. Yeah, they showed, I thought, immense maturity and composure to absolutely, you know, turn that game around from a tricky start, rather than feel sorry for themselves. And, you know, the scoreline massively flattered Southampton. You know, I remember looking at one point in the second half and Liverpool had 80% of the ball. It was, you know, it was akin to watching, you know, an FA Cup tie between a Premier League club and a League Two club. It was, the gulf was so big. You know, the only frustration was Liverpool didn't get the third goal to really kill them off. You know, Klopp has repeatedly, hasn't he, talked about them being his mentality monsters. And, you know, I think, you know, again, that's not just the first 11 he's talking about there. You know, those traits, those characteristics run right through that place.
So it's Stevie G time, isn't it, Bradders? Final day of the season. What a story this could turn out to be. In fact, who writes this stuff? This is film script stuff, isn't it?
Sky tried their best to manufacture stuff in years gone by, didn't they? It's crazy, isn't it? You know, Danny Ings and Steven Gerrard and Philippe Coutinho against Manchester City, looking to do Liverpool a favour. I think that, you know, the hope will be there. They went behind at Brighton the other year, didn't they, when it went down to the wire, and obviously it got everyone up. Ultimately, Liverpool just have to do their job and see what happens. I'm certain that, you know, if you talk to Steven and Danny Ings, who's still very close with quite a few of the Liverpool lads, you know, they'll say, yeah, you know, they're concentrating on their own game, but they'd love to do Liverpool a favour.
But that's not at the forefront of their mind, is it, Bradders? They're not going into the game thinking we're playing this for Liverpool.
No. And I think it's also worth remembering as well that Liverpool were good at Villa Park last week, weren't they? And Villa struggled to live with Liverpool for the best part of the game. Yeah, they've got the breakaways and things like that, but I never felt that once Liverpool got in front there that they were ever really in trouble at Villa. So, you know, I think probably you got to hope that Villa find an extra couple of yards, because they'll need it at the Etihad, won't they? Because Manchester City will be up for it.
Manchester City, you sort of think, do they get nervous, James? Is it going to bother them at all? Are they just on such a high level that it won't affect their play? I mean, they could have wrapped up the title if Mahrez had scored the penalty against West Ham.
Yeah, I think there has to be a degree of nerves, doesn't there? Because I think it has to be in the back of City's minds, you know, the fact that it wasn't that long ago that people were saying that, you know, there wasn't even going to be a title race this season, that it was over, it was a procession. And they're, you know, in the back of their minds, they will be thinking, well, you know, this was 14 points in the middle of January. And you're right, then you throw into the mix, you know, the Mahrez penalty as well. So, yeah, they would have been pretty sick, I think, at the sight of Liverpool doing it again, especially with the team Klopp picked. I'm sure when they saw Liverpool's team sheet at St Mary's, they were half expecting Liverpool to come undone. So, yeah, it's Liverpool have done all they can, haven't they, by taking it right down to the wire. And then you're right, you know, it could be incredible. You know, the fact that, you know, arguably the greatest player in the club's history, the one honour that eluded him in his playing career, he could end up having a massive part to play in winning the title for Liverpool, what, 7 years after he'd walked away from Anfield as a player. And then, you know, when you've got Danny Ings as well, I still think there's a chance, because I think of the problems that Danny Ings caused Liverpool. And, you know, when you look at what Jared Bowen did to Man City, you know, Ings is similar in terms of having that ability to dart in behind and expose space. And City have got a few defensive selection issues at the minute. You've got, you know, the Coutinho factor as well. You know, obviously the most important thing is just controlling what you can control, which is getting yourself into a position of dominance in the game against Wolves on Sunday, because you know that that'll have a part to play as well. You know, if Liverpool go 2-0 up after 10-15 minutes, that will get through to the City players, because it'll be flying around the Etihad, the fact that that's the case. And, you know, the longer it stays 0-0 at the Etihad, then tension and anxiety is bound to play a part, isn't it? So, yeah, I can't wait for it. You know, and do you know what? The beauty of it is as well that if it doesn't happen, if if, as is most likely, both teams win and Liverpool are pipped to the title by a single point, you know, it's not going to be like a morgue at Anfield, is it? Because it's going to be a celebration whatever. Because, you know, to get, you know, if Liverpool win on Sunday, you get 92 points. You know, I look back and 24 times in the Premier League era, that would be enough to win the league. And I tell you what, nothing picks you up better than the prospect of preparing for a Champions League final in Paris the following weekend. So, yeah, I'll look upon it as a bit of a win-win this weekend.
At least you've got me slightly convinced.
I was just going to say, if there's one goalkeeper that could produce a show-stopping one-off performance to grab the headlines and take the limelight, there's no one better than Martinez. He's quite leery and quite confident in himself, which is funny, really, because the best goalkeeper, supposedly, in the Premier League, in terms of shots saved, he's going to be playing at Anfield on Sunday in Jose Sarr, isn't he? So, but Martinez, you just feel, could produce that one performance that could just be absolutely incredible.
Could happen, couldn't it? And football, brothers, throws up weird things, doesn't it? Ask Liverpool about 1989 and Arsenal winning at Anfield. Ask those who saw Aguero do what he did to win it for Man City in the last... You get these stories. They come along.
Yeah. You only need to look at what's been happening in the Football League playoffs over the last couple of weeks and, you know, the drama that we've seen. You know, who'd have thought that Liverpool were going to go behind the way they did against Villarreal and then at Villa and then at Southampton and still have, after all these games they've played, the self-belief and the energy to, as well as the footballing ability, and now to get themselves out of it. So they deserve to take it down to the last day, and it would be quite fitting is that there is one more twist in the tale.
I don't know whether James saw the interview with Jordan Henderson on Sky last night where he was pitch side and he was essentially being asked, will you know what's happening in the City game? And he effectively said, absolutely, you feel those vibes straight away. And he sort of reflected on a couple of years ago when they knew what was happening with the Brighton game. So there's nothing that's going to escape these players, is there, while they're out there?
No, I mean, I was thinking about earlier on today, actually, that when the news filtered through at Anfield about Brighton scoring, and I think it was what were we treated to. It was like a magical 45 seconds, I think, wasn't it, that it lasted. It was like a wave of euphoria that went around the stadium. And I think, I remember where we were, obviously, in the media box, you've got monitors, so we actually had the Man City game on the monitor. So you had loads of fans were then leaving their seats to come and check that it was definitely true and that Brighton had scored. But a lot of them, by the time they'd come to check whether Brighton had scored, suddenly we were watching City's equaliser and you suddenly realised that, it wasn't going to be Liverpool's day. So I'm sure Klopp will probably get asked on Friday, you know, will you be keeping abreast of, you know, developments at the Etihad? But I don't think he'll need to worry about that. He'll have 54,000 people leaving him in absolutely no doubt about what's happening down the road. So, it is tricky for the players because I think it's bound to influence the game as well. Like I said before, in the same way as if Liverpool go a couple of goals up and City remain level, that will have a part to play as well at the Etihad. I think because no matter what players say, you can't block out stuff like that. You know, that psychology and all the rest of it will certainly be significant, I think.
What an atmosphere at Anfield we're expecting. That was the Red Agenda. My thanks to LFC TV commentator John Bradley, superb as always, and James. And James has got a piece on The Athletic right now, looking back at last night's victory over Southampton. So check that out. It's called How Liverpool's Perfect Triangle Has Kept the Quadruple Alive. There'll be plenty more from James on the site very shortly. Of course, we're all looking forward to Sunday. And fingers crossed the Reds can do it and City can slip up. We'll see you on the next Red Agenda.